The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
Praise the Lord. Did you enjoy that worship? I did. You know, we need to be careful about that. We don't show our appreciation like we should all the time, do we? And I was blessed just a few minutes ago, one of our life groups, Paul Bayless's life group, they just wanted to bless all the children's church workers today, and so they got them all a gift and went over to tell them hi. And somebody blesses you, you ought to tell them they're a blessing. Matter of fact, look at the person around you or next to you or in front of you or somewhere and just say, you're a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Need to take care of a little house stuff first. Every year we, at Thanksgiving time, we try to help there's a church over in Edna, Kansas that has a food bank, and every Thanksgiving for the last two or three years, we've gave them an offering to help them buy turkeys, and so they could give baskets away, and they've been giving baskets away to about 200 people over there, and most of them wouldn't have a Thanksgiving if it wasn't for that. And I know this is short notice, but we hadn't done this in a while, but if you'd like to help with that, well, feel free. Maybe you don't want to come down in front of everybody and do it. That's okay too. You can give us a check or do something afterwards. You can do it online. But I just want to bless them. And this year I'd like also, every year Water Gardens does a Thanksgiving dinner. And I want us to help them this year, okay? And so... How many know if God blesses us, He blesses us so we can be a blessing? And so that's surely what we want to do. And so if you didn't come prepared to do anything today, well, you know, you can still do something this week. Maybe you're watching this online this morning. You're able to participate in that also if you'd like to. And if you don't, God loves you anyway. How about that? At work? Everybody look at me. Everybody happy? And I tell the person next to you, I'm happy. My face just looks like this. All right. And I'll ask for this. I won't ask for volunteers now. I didn't get over to this side over here to say hi to all of y'all, but hi. And maybe I'll get a hug from one or two of you after service. And good to see Gail and Gary. Is Mama doing better this morning? All right. Roberta had triple bypass the other day, and boy, she's gripey after an operation, isn't she? But anyway, that's how you know she's feeling better, if she's griping, see? So, but anyway, we need, I need some help with, how many know we've got some golf carts that we try to give people rides over, and I'd like a few more volunteers to help. Some Sundays we don't seem to get that done, John, raise your hand if you're interested in that. Get with him. You don't have to be a guy. You can be a gal too. Just from about 10:30 maybe till about 20 after 10, or I mean from about 10 o'clock till about 20 after 10. And is that about the right time? Or if you get here a little before, get here 9:45, that's even better. But if you'd help with that, you know, if everybody does a little bit, then nobody has to do a lot. And we also could use an extra van driver on Sunday morning to pick up some of our folks that we give rides. So if you're interested in any of that, we'll let us know. I want to read you something today. You ready? Can I give you something that helps you? How many need some help? Say, I need some help. I need some too. So. I want to read you something. We've been in James a little bit here, and I'm still there today, if you didn't know. So, but I wanted to read you James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The part I wanted to concentrate on this morning was, first off, is just the second half of verse 7. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Now we've been talking about trials and problems and going through trials. And anybody here ever go through any trials or tribulations or problems? Or a few of you don't. I want to see you after a service because I want to get some pointers from you. How about that? So how many have a little trouble with the devil once in a while? How many go through some stuff you don't enjoy every once in a while? And James starts off, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks. He says, count it all joy when you're going through these things because they'll produce, the scripture says patience, but it actually means endurance. They'll produce, these hard things that the enemy comes at us will cause us to be more, be able to endure more. They'll make us stronger. They'll make us tougher. They'll help us, even though I don't like to go through them. I don't want help that bad. How many of you know what I mean? They're not any fun. But James, the whole thing here, and then he goes on and he talks to us, but he says, now don't think that these things are coming from God, and we covered that last week. Because God only has good in Him, and He's only able to do good. And if you missed that, you probably need to get that and listen to it. But it says, resist the devil. Now, first off, how many know how the devil comes at you? Did you know that every trial, every tribulation, everything you go through, it starts, I don't care if it's physical, mental, spiritual, it starts off, he launches an assault on your mind. That's how he always comes to us. He begins to tell us lies. He begins to, I was smiling at some of the songs that we sang today, and Woody, that was a good song. You didn't know what I was going to preach, but you did good. But he comes at us, he attacks our mind. He begins to tell us things. He begins to tell us things like, what you think God told you is never going to be accomplished in your life. Your dreams are never going to come to pass. You're too old. You've already missed your chance. He's going to come to you telling you, some people just have to go through and they just have to be poor and they just have to lack. And he's going to tell you, sometimes we just have to be sick and there's nothing we can do about it. And everything he does, he starts with an attack, an assault on our mind. James tells us here to resist. So how do you resist? That's what I want to talk a little bit about today. How do you resist those assaults? Do you stand firm? We talked a couple weeks ago about standing firm in the middle of the crisis, in the middle of the trial. Standing firm. Do you stand firm, or do you just kind of just mentally kind of give up? Kind of in your mind, you just begin to allow him to assail your mind. You just begin to allow. You just begin to say, God will take care of this. We have a tendency just to let our guards down, and we just think that God's in control of everything, and. And I'll tell you, sometimes there's been that God wasn't in control. The devil was in control of some of my situations. Now, we have a God of this world, and his name's the devil, and he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. And yes, God is sovereign, and God can intervene. And God, if it wasn't for his intervention, we'd all be dead. Because the enemy would kill us all. And I believe that's what the gifts of the Spirit are all about, and the miracles and stuff is that God's able to intervene, and He says He won't let more be put on us than we can handle, but He'll make a way of escape, or He'll make a way that we can bear it. And so we have an enemy that's always after us. He's always working on us. And James says here, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That word resist is a compound word. The first part of it means to means against or to oppose something. The second part of the word means to stand. And so when you put them together, it means to stand against or to stand in opposition to something. Now he's talking about resisting the devil. But here's what I want us to understand, because sometimes, you know, how many know we got used to that saying, I'm just standing. Well, you might be standing, but you're getting your head knocked off. And that's not what God intended, for us to be getting whooping all the time. I'm just standing. Yeah, well, you do something while you're standing. Resist. Because when James used this word demonstrated an attitude of someone who was fiercely opposed to something, and that person was determined that they were going to do anything within their power, they were going to do everything they could to resist that thing that they're standing against. To resist it, to stand against it, to defy it. Now, what I want you to begin to see is James uses this word, and he's trying to show us that we need to, this word is an aggressive word. He's trying to show us that we need to be aggressive in our stand. We need to tell the enemy, no, you're not getting away with that. You know, Paul says, after you've done all to stand, just stand. I won't ask anybody that if you've ever said it, but how many has ever heard somebody? They were in the middle of the battle, and they were just getting their head knocked off. Now, be careful what I say here. Keith can't edit it out now. But and they just go, I'm just a standing. Well, it's no fun to stand if you're just getting slapped all the time. But what Paul said was in Ephesians, he said, after you've done all to stand, stand. Now listen, this is how I found myself beginning to pray here a while back. And it's amazing how closer I felt like God was listening to me. You ever pray and you just wonder if he's listening? Anybody here? Oh, okay. Scared me there. I thought you all went to sleep on me. What I've learned, I really didn't think about it, but what I began to pray and the way I began to think was, I said, you know, I was battling something. It's something that I had been in a battle before, and I'm not sure, well, I'm sure, I didn't win the battle. I just got relief. How many know sometimes when we're in the battle, if we just get relief, then we just back off and go, whoo! But the truth is we really didn't learn how to take care of the battle, the enemy in the battle. And so I'm in this thing, and this time I decide, I said, you know what, God, this time I want the answer. This time I'm not giving up when I get relief. I'm not giving up when it feels better. I'm not giving up when it looks good and looks like everything's okay, because the enemy will back off so you won't be hard on him. He'll back off so you'll let your guard down again. And I began to pray this way. I was praying and I said, you know what, Father? I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. You've given me authority over all the power of the enemy. You, Jesus, said before you left that nothing could harm me because you had defeated it for me. You're the one that told me that. You're the one that did that. So I take my stand and I take authority against that. I take my authority that you gave me, Jesus, and I stand my ground. Now, Father, I have done what I know to do, and I believe you'll do what you know to do. See, you're not supposed to fight the battle. You're supposed to fight the fight of faith. And so when you face these things, if we just go, hold it. I just know what this says. And I didn't know, and let me just say this, God will start moving for you and in your behalf, even if you don't dot all the I's and cross all the T's. Even if you haven't had Kenneth or Joyce or anybody's formula down to the perfect thing. Because he's your God and you're his child, and he'll take you right where you are and he'll begin to teach you. And as I did that, I began to, some of the things that I'm supposed to do, I didn't do when I took that stand. But as he reminded me and as I saw him in the Word, I began to do them and I began to take. I do my part, God will do his part. It's not your part to heal you. It's God's part to heal you. Father, I'm doing my part. Jesus, you took your stripes. I take that by faith. I don't know how it works. I don't know how I can ever feel better, but you did it, so I do it, and I take authority over you, devil. You'll not stand against God's word, because it says this. Now, Father, I've done all to stand. I'm standing. That makes sense? Makes sense? Oh, some of you are going to start getting so much victory in your life that you're going to get fizzy brained. And when you do, slap yourself, man. Slap yourself, because it's not you. Don't go to flexing your muscles. It's not you that's whipping him. You can't whip the devil. I can't whip the devil. But Jesus already whipped him. So I'm just going to get over there and get in Jesus. Huh? Well, I want you to look at all this stuff, and I don't know how much of it I'll get said, but I just get to writing, and I don't do stuff on the computer. I just write everything out, and then I'll go back and read it, and I'll think of some more, and I've got it in the lines, and I've got it between. No way I can even read it all, let alone say it all, but I believe the Holy Spirit has something just for you today. I believe He's doing something in your life today. I believe you're going to walk out of here with a new sense of victory, and you're going to conquer the enemy in those areas that he's been defeating you in. He says resist him. So what I'm saying is he's saying, I just need, James is saying, Hank, just get mad about it. Just resist him. Just say, no, I'm not putting up with that anymore. No, you're not getting away with that in my life anymore. That makes sense? Now you're not fighting him with you, and it's not because you say things in a certain way, and it's not because you have a certain look on your face. What you fight him with is this word of God and the name of Jesus. Jesus gave you authority. God said there's no name above that name. Every knee will bow its knee to that name. Every tongue will confess. And sickness, you're going to bow your knee to that name of Jesus. Poverty, lack, you're gonna bow your knee. And you're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. I wasn't supposed to get this excited already, but I'm trying to wake half of you up. Get mad. Take a stand. That's what this word means. It means be forceful. Don't just say, well, God will take care of it. God gave you the authority to take care of it. Yes, if you've done all you know to do and it's not working, he still can do miracles. He can do gifts of healing. He can do miraculous healings and miraculous miracles. He can do all those things. And he will do those things. But we start doing what we can do. So sometimes I say, God, I don't know very much, but I know a little bit, and the little bit I know about Jesus is enough to take care of the devil. I never did a word study on the name devil, but James says to resist the devil. That word devil means it's diabolos, and I never really did a word study on that and studied it out. But if you really get into an in-depth study of it, you'll find out that word diabolos is more of a job description than it is a name. Stay with me. It's a compound word. D-I-A means, depending on how it's used, it has many different meanings, but here it means through. Like you pierce something through from one side all the way to the other side. You with me? The last word, B-O-L-O-S, means to throw something, like you're throwing a ball or you're throwing a rock. Now catch this. When you put the two words together, they mean that you are repetitiously throwing something, striking it again and again and again and again until the object that's being struck is totally penetrated. Now let me ask you something. Isn't that how the devil does us? You see, that's a job description of how he operates. And if you figure out how he operates, you can stop him from operating in your life. What does he do? He comes to your mind. He starts throwing lies. He starts assaulting you. He starts bombarding you. He starts one after another striking you until he wears down your resistance. And then when he wears down your, it's just a total assault on your mind. And when he wears down your resistance, then he really bombards you, and he begins to penetrate your mind. Once he's gained access to our minds, he begins to delude them. He begins to attack them with lies. He begins to bombard us. And what happens is we've let down our resistance. He's wore us down. And what happens is then he's able to create strongholds in our life. And then after those strongholds are created, they're in our lives, then he's able to manipulate us and cause us to do what he wants to do. How do you think all the evil gets done in the world? He's manipulating somebody. Huh? Does this make sense to you? Stay with me. He's manipulating. He's using them to cause. He has no power. He has no power to do anything in the earth. All he has the power to do is to talk you into doing it. Or talk somebody into doing it. Does that make sense? Because he wants to control and manipulate you. Now think about it. That's how he gets us every time. He'll get us to thinking. He'll get us to fearing. That fear then will take place. It'll have an effect on our bodies. And it'll even make us sick. I mean, you look back at every time you've gotten sick, you thought about it for a long time before it ever happened. I mean, when the first commercial came out, you went and you was buying that stuff for the cold and flu season. Just nothing wrong with buying it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I want you to understand how he gets you. So instead of giving him pleasure and giving him the lead way, what we need to do is stop him. Paul said something, and I'll just read it. Y'all know what it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh or according to the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty, mighty in God to pull down those strongholds. Where are those strongholds at? In our minds. In our minds. And some of those strongholds, he's been building those things all of our life. You're dominated with fear. You can go back to the time when you were a little kid and you can see when that fear, if you'll just think about it, you can see when that fear entered your life. It says, this is what we're to do. He says, cast down those arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you understand what he's saying here? That's something you have to do. God, help me. God, get me out of this. God, do this. God can give you relief. But what he wants to do is he wants you to have victory. He wants you to be able to stop it and not have to yell uncle every time you're at this same place in life. Does that make sense? Doesn't? Well, let's go home. No, we're not going to go yet. When you notice him starting, see, it's a lot easier to deal with it before it becomes a stronghold. That's why whenever you start thinking something that you know it's not what God says, you need to say, no, I'm not thinking that anymore. Whatever it is that pulls you into that fear realm, just say, no, I've already been there. I was there last month. I'm not going back this month. You have to mentally do that. And the only way I found that it works is if I just start, when he's assailing me with all those lies, when he's trying to elude my mind and convince me of that, because see, if he can get me to believe, if he can get me to listen and get me to believe, he'll be able to control and manipulate my life. And so it's when I'm hearing all those things that I have to say, nope, that's not what God says. That's, I don't usually feel like it then, because I feel like what he's telling me is right. I mean, because he's going, poor Hank. He pats you on the shoulder and go, poor Hank, them people just aren't treating you right. Oh, poor Hank, you're just suffering so much. It must be God's will. Poor Hank. And that feels so much better than to go, no. You know, when I'm sick, I like to act like I'm taking standing by faith, but I like to, when Pam walks in the room, I like to go, you don't ever do that to your mate, do you? I like to go, oh. You're not doing that when nobody's in the room with you. Why are you doing it when somebody walks in the room with you? Why? Well, because sympathy feels better than faith. It's more fun. Sympathy ministers to the natural person, but faith ministers to the spiritual person. Man, I don't even think I got that on these papers anywhere, but y'all need to hear this. You won't ever have anybody tell you this the way I'm telling it to you again. Not even me. See, that's just the way the Holy Spirit works. He knows just what you need. He knows just what you're facing. He knows just what you're going through. And he's got an answer just for you. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, he tells us that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Tell him you can't have me. You might eat everybody around me, but you ain't eating me. Faith. You can't have me. But what does he tell us to do? He says, resist him with your faith. But if you go back and read the verses before that, he said, cast your cares on him. Humble yourself. Cast the load on him because he cares for you. He tells you how to position yourself. And then he says, now stand. So you can go, I've did my part, God. And now you're doing yours. I don't care if I see it. I don't care if I feel it. I don't care if anything around me acts like it is. I don't care if anybody tells me it's working. I know it's working because you said it. Your word won't come back void. Your word will do what you sent it to do. And I got your word all around me. Well, the good news for us is he says, resist him and he'll flee. Huh? That's good news. The word for flee means to flee or to take flight. When they used that word, it was used to depict a lawbreaker that would leave a country or a nation to go to a different country to escape prosecution. I mean, he knew he was guilty, he had broke the law, and so rather than face prosecution, he'd go try to get immunity, he'd go to another country, he'd flee. The devil knows who he is. He knows he's a lawbreaker. And here's the thing, when I begin to resist him, when you begin to resist him, He's not going to hang around. If I'm resisting him with the Word of God and in the authority in the name of Jesus, the authority that Jesus gave me, if I'm standing in that, if I'm not trying to be the Jesus that Paul preached, and Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? You remember that story in Acts? No, if I'm getting over in the Lord, if I'm getting over in Jesus, what do you mean getting over? Every time the Bible says in Jesus, if you just picture yourself, say, just get into Jesus. He's all around me. Just get in here. Now I'm operating your authority, Jesus. I'm operating in your power, Jesus. The devil's not afraid of me, but if I get in Jesus, he's afraid of Jesus. Huh? Because Jesus stomped his brains. Huh? He was mentally challenged when Jesus got done with him. Huh? It's okay, you want to mess with me? Just talk to Big Brother first. Talk to my Savior first. Now I'm trying to make this simple. But because it's simple doesn't mean it's not truth. And because it's simple doesn't mean it's silly. Because it'll work. It'll work if you don't know all the big words that some people are using to explain it with. It'll work because of Jesus. You with me? He's a lawbreaker. And when I begin to resist him, when I begin to resist him with the word and the name of Jesus, when I begin to resist him, he doesn't hang around. He flees. Now, he's liable to hang around to see if I really mean it. Do you really mean it, Hank? Or are you just telling me about the Jesus that Keith Moore knows? Do you really mean it, Hank? I mean, do you really know this? Are you really convinced of this? Or is this just something you heard Joyce Meyer say? You with me? But when he sees you're serious, he's not going to hang around because he knows that you'll dominate him. He knows that you'll conquer him. And what the devil doesn't want more, the most thing he doesn't want is for anybody to get saved. But after you get saved, the biggest thing he fights in your life is to keep you from ever realizing who you are in Christ Jesus. Yes, it is. Where two of us will agree. So I like an interpretation I heard Rick Renner give of this part of Scripture. He said, stand firmly against the devil. That's right. Be unbending and unyielding in the way you resist him, so that he knows he is up against a serious contender. If you take that kind of stand against him, he will tuck tail and run like a criminal who knows his day of prosecution is upon him. See, once you stand and resist him, he'll flee. He wants to be dominant in every one of our lives. He wants to convince you that God will never do those things in your life that he said. He wants to convince you that you're too old. He wants to convince you that there's no marriage that's got the problems that yours does, and there's no way it could ever be fixed. He wants to convince you that, you know, my grandpa didn't have much, my dad didn't have much, and I'm not going to have much. He wants to convince you. He wants to bombard you. He wants to control your life. He wants to do everything he can to keep God from being all God wants to be in you. That's when you got to resist him. And there's something magic about resisting. I don't like that word magic. It bothers John. He don't like magic, or he doesn't like lucky. They did his hand in that planer, and they told him, the doctor said, "Well, you're lucky." He said, "No, I'm blessed." Huh? Ah, there ain't no such thing as luck. It's God. If it's good, it's God. Huh? He wants to do everything he can to stop you. But here's the thing about it. I use the word magic because I want you to see that it really happens. I want you to mentally picture that it really happens. When you make a decision to resist, all we do is exercise our will. God does the rest. when you make a decision to resist, God gives you, Jesus gives you all the power you need in your life to stand against that thing. And if you don't change your mind, if you hold to your profession, you'll whip it. Huh? He'll have to try something else when he comes around the next time to get you. Does that make sense? Now, I want us to see the first half of that verse, but before I do, I just need to say something, because you need to understand, I'm not telling you something now and saying that you'll never have tribulation. You'll never have trials. You'll never... See that's the way we hear these messages sometimes. You with me? I'm just not... And then when we have a problem, when we have a crisis, we think there's something wrong with us. That's more lies from him, by the way. Think there's something wrong with us. I must have not done something right. I must have done... Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. It doesn't matter, but God will still come to your rescue if you'll use your faith and stand. But I'm not telling you that there won't be some battles. You hearing me? I'm just telling you, in the middle of every battle, he'll be with you. Because if you're trying to live for the Lord, I promise you there's going to be problems, there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. I wanted to read a verse here real quick. It's a verse I use probably as much as any verse I use. It's Jeremiah 29:11. I just want you to understand what I'm saying real quick here. God says through Jeremiah, Jeremiah's talking to Israel, and he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future. How many has ever heard that verse? If you've been here more than three services, you've heard it. Okay? But what he's not saying here is, see, we read that and we think, well, everything good from God. So if I'm going through this and I just, you know, I can just believe this stuff away. I mean, it's not going to happen, or maybe it's going to get over real quick. How many know sometimes it doesn't work that way? Now, I'm not saying to figure or to plan on it being that way. I'm just saying sometimes he doesn't turn loose so easy. Let me, if you would, let me push this thing or get into the context of this verse a little bit. I don't ever do that, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. What this verse is saying, the heart of this verse is not that we will escape our lot or escape all the things that we're going through. It's that we will learn to thrive in those things. God's going to bless me anyway. In the middle of this pile of ashes, God's going to give me some beauty. The context of this, Israel was in exile in Babylon, because they had disobeyed God. And there was a false prophet named Hananiah that was telling the people, God's going to deliver you out of this bondage in 2 years. And God sent Jeremiah to rebuke this false prophet and to tell him, no, I'm sorry, it's not going to be over in 2 years. You with me? So Jeremiah calls Hananiah out, and he says, and then he states the promise. He says, God does indeed have good plans for you, Israel. He does have those good plans, and those plans will give you hope, and they'll give you a future. So he gives this thing, but to understand what he's saying, you have to go back and read verse 7. It says, in verse 7, before he tells him this, he says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Do you understand? Pray for them that they'll prosper, because if they prosper, you'll prosper. You see, God in His goodness, He's even wanting the heathen nation to prosper. But what I saw in this is, He said, I just saw the heart of God, the goodness of God. You know, he said, sending you into Babylon for 70 years. You're going into captivity. And then He comes back and says, but I'll bless you in the middle of all this. Reminds me of my grandpa. I had a grandpa. He was a rough old guy, man. Matter of fact, he poured the first wheelbarrow of cement in the foundation of this Fox Theater. And he worked in the mines, and he was just a rough old guy, and he just had the most tender heart. And we, us kids, we'd be little, and he'd go, you kids are grounded. You're not going anywhere. I'm telling you, you're not going anywhere for a week. And then he'd go, why? Was you wanting to go somewhere? Oh, man, God can't be mean to you even when he tries. He's so good. You see what He's saying here? He's saying, you're in bondage, but I'll show you how to be blessed in the middle of the trial. That makes sense? I'll show you how to be blessed. See, and then he goes on and adds insult to misery. He tells them, he says, you're going to be here for 70 years and then I'll deliver you. Do you understand what that meant to those standing around? Most of them standing around, that meant they weren't going to get to go home. They'd be dead. The next generation would go in. You see, sometimes it doesn't happen like we think it should. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Some years back, I was in business. I was in the car business. And I might have told this story before, so I'll tell it real quick because I'm out of time. But I was in the car business, and I made some bad choices. I made some wrong decisions. I just messed up big time. I don't know how else to put it in any more common language. And all of a sudden, I woke up one day, and I found myself in hundreds of thousands of dollars in a hole. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it don't feel good. I'm talking you wake up at 1 or 2 in the morning with a cold sweat. I'm talking about fear grips your heart. Everything I got's going to go down the tube. My poor little boys are going to starve. My wife's going to get mad because she can't buy groceries. You hear me? And I remember going to God, and I said, God, I've made the mistake. I've made these wrong choices. I need help. And God began to instruct me what to do. He said, Hank, I'll get you out of this. But He said, you didn't get in it in 30 days, and you're not going to get out of it in 30 days. But if you'll listen, and if you will obey. This old boy worked hard for about a year, a little over maybe. And you know what? The day came. I mean, in the midst of my dilemma, God blessed me. Huh? In the midst of all that, besides taking care of every problem I had, taking care of this huge and massive debt that was hanging over me, in spite of that, my kids had more than they'd ever had. My wife had more than she'd ever had. We moved into a big new house. I mean, God just blessed me in the midst of that. I wanted Him to fix it. I even went and bought some lottery tickets. Oh, God, if I could just win that, I could fix it. He said, yeah, but you have some relief, but you won't have any answers. Relief's not the same thing as victory. Well, that wasn't exactly what Israel was wanting to hear. And you know what? It's not really what we want to hear when we're in the bind, is it? Huh? But see, the children of Israel, or the I was reading in Daniel, I think it's the 3rd chapter. There's 3 old Hebrew boys that they didn't want to go in the fire. But when they got in the middle of fire, they found out the Lord was with them. Huh? I mean, you ought to read that story. You know the story. The king built this image and said, if you don't bow down to it, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And these three boys wouldn't bow down to it. And he said, well, I'm going to throw you in there and just see if your God can take care of you and see if your God can deliver you. And you know what them old boys did? They looked at the old king and said, so be it. Said, throw us in there. Said, if he delivers us, it'll be fine. Said, if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to serve you. We're still not going to bow. Whew. That's determination. They didn't know what was going to happen when they got in that fire. The people that was stoking the fire was dying. It was so hot. No king looked in there and said, Who's that in there? Didn't we just throw three people in there? There's four people in there. I'm not telling you you'll evade the storm. I'm just telling you he'll be with you in it. Huh? And he can bless you in it. We could go on and on and on with stories. We could talk about Joseph and all the stuff he had to go through, and we don't have time, but we there's story after story in the Bible that yes, they had to go through some stuff. Yes, we'll have to go through some stuff because we got a devil and he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But this is what I'm trying to get us to understand. In the midst of my trauma, in the midst of my tribulation, in the midst of my battle, I can stand sturdy or firm and steady, and I can look at the enemy in the eye and I can say, no, you're not going to win this one. I don't have to see how, I don't have to feel how, I just do my part and he does his part. That's what he says here, the first part of that word. He says, submit to God and resist the devil. Now actually, if you'd read James and look at it, he's trying to teach his church, he's trying to teach them how he starts off, because they're going through the trials, they're getting killed, they're getting you know, they've been getting stoned or all this stuff, and he goes through there and he starts explaining it, and then he says it's you're gonna be stronger when you get out of it than you were when you went into it. And while you're in the middle of it, stand strong and don't blame God. And don't say it's him doing this because he can't do this. And he goes on in here and he teaches them, tells them how to talk and how to act. And you know, if when we would read the Bible, if we would not read it like it was a bunch of rules that we had to do to stay in line, if we would begin to read it like it's something that he wants to build some character in us, what does it mean to be conformed into the image of Jesus? It means to build those characteristics into us. What do you think the fruits of the Spirit are all about? It's to make them a part of us. To make this Christ-like nature a part of us. Anybody like me, we got a ways to go. Me and Mardell was the first one to raise our hands. See, that's what this is all about, and that's what James is doing here. And in the midst of it, I can resist him. And even if it doesn't go as fast as I think it ought to go, I'm still going to party, man. I'm going to party right in the middle of it. Are you hearing me? You can't be a novice at this stuff. And every time something bad happens to you, you get mad at God. Every time something bad, it amazes me at people that come in here and they sit here for a few months and God touches them and begins to minister to them and begins to build them up and they begin to their finances are helped and all the areas of their life are helped. And then the first time something goes bad, they aren't even in church anymore. If you're watching this today and that's you, get yourself on back in. Come on. God wants to help you. He loves you. He cares about you. You're important to him. Commit. I had some more there, but I'll do it another time. But commit. You understand? That means to put myself in full control, in full obedience. To let God dominate my life, every area of my life. I'm going to read you that verse anyway. It's in Colossians. And I won't go through, I won't take the time to do what I was going to do. But it says, Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word and deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Everything you do. How many know that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us? He lives in us. Matter of fact, it's in Corinthians. Paul told us, he said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "I'm going to send Him back to live in you. I'm going to send Father and my very own Spirit to live in you, to lead you and to guide you, to live inside of you." Wow, do you understand the magnitude of that? Paul tells the Colossians here, he says, whatever you say or do, do it. Did you realize that everything you say or do affects the Holy Spirit? He lives inside of you. I love it, and I had some more scripture, but if I don't shut that, I'll be trying to tell you all of them. But in Ephesians, he says, be careful what you say. Don't say the wrong things. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That word grieve means to cause intense pain. What if I were to understand that everything I say, that word whatsoever means the little most minute detail. The littlest thing. Matter of fact, what it means is he wants control of every part of our life, even the itsy bitsy teeny weeny things. What if I began to realize that everything I say has an effect on the Holy Spirit? If I say good things and edifying things and I build you up and I say good things and that magnifies the Holy Spirit and it brings glory to Jesus. See, now I know none of y'all do this, but we like to come to church and put a smile on and be real nice when we come to church. And we're a real hellcat when we're out there, you know. When we get home, we're mean to everybody. We used to be that way, didn't we? We're not that way anymore. Huh? What if I realize, commit or submit to God. That means, and the word deed there means every part of our life, means everything I do, God wants me to commit that to Him, to submit that to Him. That means everything I say, everything I do, everywhere I go, how I treat you, how I treat the people I see. That means how I handle my money. That means how I do everything that I do, how I spend my time, how much what I watch on TV, what I look at on the internet. That means He wants everything I do affects the Holy Spirit. And Paul begs us, says, please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, what if I would begin to act like that? You know what would happen? I'd start being more like Jesus. Now, I don't know the gist of what I was going to say is commit your life to God. Huh? Realize that everything you do, when you're hateful with your mate, when you're mean to your kids, when you cuss out your neighbor, huh? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, you do. You might not use cuss words, but you'll curse them. When you curse that guy in front of you that didn't go as soon as the light changed. And especially if they were talking on a cell phone. Oh, get out of the way, you jerk! Now, I don't do that, and I know you don't ever do that. You understand what I'm saying? Everything about my life. So what if I get up in the morning and I say, God, I loved a message Doc Willis sent me the other day, when early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I get this text from Doc. And he says something to the effect of, "May you accomplish everything God has for you today and be blessed." I thought, wow. Wow. That's why he's one of my heroes, by the way. Huh? What if we got up every day? I don't know why I'm sounding this way. Dan's fault. What if we got up every day and said, "God, I want everything I say and everything I do today to magnify you, Holy Spirit, and to bring glory to you, Jesus." Huh? Do you think if when the devil got after you, if you talked to him, you think that God wouldn't move in your behalf? Huh? Now, I promise you, if you do that, you're going to get to the end of the day and you're going to feel like the biggest failure that there was. Huh? Because you're going to look at all the things you messed up, but at least you were trying. At least you were starting. And you know, the truth is, you already know some of the things that God's dealing with you about. Take care of them. Don't worry about the other stuff. What we do is we harden our heart. We just put them off and put them off. We harden our heart so that they don't make us feel guilty anymore. "Well, it's all right if I do that." Sure it is. God loves you. But don't hurt the Holy Spirit. Don't bring dishonor to your Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? Is everybody awake? I don't know what happened here, but let's stand since the mics are all messed up. Father, I've tried to say and tried to let you use me today, Holy Spirit, and so the only thing that really matters now is that you just speak to each one of our hearts. And Lord, just help us. Just help us, Lord. We want to be all we can be for you, and help us commit to you. And Lord, help us realize that we just don't have to put up with everything the enemy does to us. And teach us, Holy Spirit, teach us how to be committed to you, and teach us how to stand against the devil. And Lord, I ask that you'd use something I said today to help everyone who's listening, whether they be here, whether they're seeing this on TV, whether they're seeing this on the internet. God, I just ask you to be big in their life and bless them today. And we thank you for this and give you praise and glory and honor. Jesus, you're wonderful. Let me just say this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, or maybe you've gotten away from God and you want to rededicate your life, I want you to come, and I'm going to, after I dismiss you here, I want you just to come and let one of us pray with you. We've got people coming. We're here to pray. Maybe you just have something you'd like for us to agree with you about. We'd be happy to pray with you. If you had anything else you wanted to do to help the church in Edna and help Water Gardens, feel free to do that. But if you need to come for something, maybe you came today to get baptized. Why don't you come? We got somebody that'll baptize you and everything you need to do it. But don't leave today without getting what you need from God, okay? Hey, I love you. I pray for you every day. I believe God's best for your life, and I believe Him to do good things in you today and throughout this whole week. Everybody say something with me. Say, "This might be." Everybody didn't say it. Say, "This might be the best week I've ever had." And it's all because of you, Jesus. Hey, I love you. If you're a first timer, I'd love to shake your hand. If you want to come get somebody to pray with you, we'll be happy to do that. Don't forget, tomorrow night's a movie. It'd be good. And everything else that we announced. Hey, I love you. Have a great day and a great week.